Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in this half of the show, we do some interviews with Heather Morris, who's a professional dancer, worked with Beyonce, get the backstage skinny on that. Also, the news, good sports, all coming up. First, Stamps.com. I run my own business. See this microphone? That's mine. I bought it myself because I run my own business. I've wrote a few books. I've done a few things, and I get how life works. The post office, it's fine, but we don't want to go there anymore because it takes up too much time. And we can do everything we do at the post office, and we can do it here, and we can do it better with Stamps.com. And they've been with us for 10 years. I've been doing this for a decade, and that's how long we've been doing business with Stamps.com. All the services you can do at the post office, do it right on your computer. Buy and print, U.S. postage, any letter, any package, home or office. Best part, 5 cents off every first class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail. 40% off priority mail. And I got a special offer. And these guys are great sponsors. Special offer, 4-week trial plus free postage and the digital scale. No long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam. Good sponsors, good relationship. This is why we've been going for so long. Sponsors like Stamps.com. Stamps.com, enter Adam. Hey, people. Adam Carolla here. Give you a few tips on how to live a happy, fulfilling life. Do not waste your life sitting at that red light, not turning right. You turn right, damn you. Go. Mach schnell, I say. Let's do it. All right. Drink good wine. That's something else you should do. Go ahead to KnockingPoint.com today. Get a bottle of my brand new Ride on Red Pinot Noir. Get yourself a few bottles and use the promo code Adam. Get 10 bucks off. Trust me, your life will get better as a result. Ride on Red Pinot Noir, KnockingPoint.com, and mahala.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey there, gang. This is Dan in San Diego, California, calling in. Driving along just now, and for nostalgic purposes, I put on some No Doubt. I was walking the spider webs, and I was jamming along, at which point my 11-year-old son looked over at me and said, "Dad, can we roll up the windows?" So apparently, No Doubt to an 11-year-old qualifies as a Tool tune. Thanks, gang. Keep it up.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Heather Morris is our guest, 32 years young, actress, professional dancer, podcast The Dance Room, available on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts as well. Done some professional dancing, a lot of professional dancing. Danced with Beyonce, went on a world tour with Beyonce. Saturday Night Live. What'd you do on SNL?
I was the backup dancer for Beyonce. I was the token white girl.
When Beyonce performed.
Yes.
I figured someone performed. I didn't know it was Beyonce. How was that experience traveling the world with Beyonce?
It was amazing. I mean, I was 19, 20, almost 21, not even 21. So drinking on the bus on the side, you know, like having a blast before I could drink. The whole world tour itself was amazing. I mean, I was so young. I got to see places I never would have seen before and, you know, traveling on a bus, going on a jet plane and dancing behind Beyonce. It was just magical.
We're looking at a picture of you guys now. Beyonce, perfectionist.
What's the vibe?
I don't say I know her well, but I've interacted with her a couple of times.
She knew exactly what she wanted when she got on set. I mean, we took hours and hours to perfect things without her there, and she had a team who just made everything perfect for her. And when she came in, she was kind, she was generous, and she focused on what she was doing, very hardworking, and was not like, there was never any rude or never, you know, her being better than anybody.
Is there always think about this, when you take Britney Spears and you know, Britney Spears on a couple of mood-altering pharmaceuticals to take the edge off, and she's not a professional dancer, and she's hired professional dancers mm-hmm. to dance behind her, and they're at the top of their game, then sometimes you see a little separation between, especially when they're all doing, attempting to do the same move. One move looks a little crisper and a little sharper, and the other looks like it's been had some edges rounded over. Where's Beyonce?
Beyonce is better than most of the dancers.
She's better than most of the dancers.
Yeah.
And, well, I don't know. I know she's a good dancer, but I don't know that she's a professional dancer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you would say, like, as you were speaking before, she's a perfectionist. I think in her own mental state, she likes to watch videos at home, and she does her homework with dances, and she'll look at original dances from, like, African performances and study them and do them the right way. So when she comes in, we look like fools because she knows exactly what she's doing, whereas we're just like learning from another dancer. So I would say she's a little bit more professional in the smart way.
So she never has a dial it down. I mean, go 8/10. I mean, like if I'm Britney Spears, I would say like don't go 10/10.
You're gonna make me look bad.
Let's go 7 or 8/10.
But
back
her videos on Instagram are so amazing.
Which
do you ever
one?
Watch her videos on Instagram?
Oh, he does all the time.
Britney Spears videos on Instagram.
I have not seen a lot of them.
Oh my God! You have to look these up on Instagram.
What's
on,
she doing?
On her Instagram account? They're just she's so full out, like you're saying. She's like going like 120%.
This is not a compliment.
No, it's like fun. It's fun to watch for sure.
Have you ever danced for anyone who said just don't be quite as good as you could be?
No. I think people want you to be as... It's like asking an actor. Like,
well,
don't
look,
be good on camera
I
because
do,
your partner's not
mics
good.
Fire up every day. Crowley gives us the look. He's like, now listen.
Dial it down. Dial it down. With the laughs.
Ryan heard me once early, and I've never had to remind him again.
Yep. I toe the line, man.
It was 2009. We're in the parking lot. I said, I'm going to start a podcast.
I had a particularly good show, and he's like, never again. And I've kept my promise.
No, I'm going to go out tonight. I'm going to do stand-up. Sometimes guys go out there and they fucking crush it for 20 minutes. And then you go out there and you think, oh, now this guy just got done destroying the room. And now I'm going out there, which makes you want to up your game. But there's a part of you that goes, I wish he just did well instead of destroyed.
For sure. You wish you wouldn't have heard that part of what they did, that you could tune it out.
Yes.
I do a podcast, which we are here for. But in my episode today, I talk about going to do an audition. I auditioned for an ABC Untitled musical that's coming out, and I had to sing for the audition. And I don't sing often as I should. It's just not what I, practice for. I like dance and acting and whatever. But I had to go sing for this audition. And I had told them, like, I want to opt out of the singing part of this because I just don't do it as
often. That's an option?
It's an option.
You can opt out?
Oh, will you come sing for us? And I was like, no, I'm not like in the zone anymore. And so the producer pulled aside and was like, will you please just like sing these couple parts? And I was like, okay, well, sure. And I like mortifiedly like died in the audition. I was terrible. I, like you're saying, when you go and do stand up, I was just like, I failed so hard.
Here's a second chance.
Listening to the other ones.
Yeah, here's a second chance.
I wasn't even, saying I go out
said.
There and bomb horribly every time. I'm saying the person before you, when they hit
it out of the ballpark,
and then you got to go next. But I think it's look, when you're a kid, remember you're a kid, you'd be in the fifth grade, and they go, we're doing oral report day. Mm. Some Chinese kid gets up there, does one on Levi Strauss, and knocks it out of the ballpark.
Standing ovation.
And you know Levi Strauss now better than you know yourself.
You walk out there and you're like, Mark Twain, was that his real name?
You're like,
and then
here's
you fumble for your notepad. Like, you're just saying, it's nice to have the dumb kid go on. A little buffer between you and the Chinese kid. That's all.
After Adam's
here's
done,
my report and crayon.
All the hands go up next.
Or fighting each other to get through the chairs to get up. So how many, when you go out with Beyonce, how long do you go out for?
Well, I haven't toured with her in over 12 years. We were on tour for about 2 years in the United States, and then we came home and then went back out to the to Asia and Africa and did an overseas leg. That was about 4 or 5 months.
Do you have a wiring? I have wiring where sometimes I go, oh, I got to go out there for 90 minutes and I got to do everything. And then there's other things I get involved with where I go, I just got to go out there and do this thing and that thing. And then I don't have to be at the front doing everything all the time. Like there's a part where the acoustic guitar comes out and I get to go back and towel off or something.
Right.
Is there a lot of that in those shows, or are you just out there the whole time? And do you kind of like going,
yeah,
I don't have to. I get to take a break?
I think with any profession that you're in, like the more you're doing it, the more comfortable you get, and the more you sit in that pocket, and it gets easier on your body, and you're not pushing and like making everything super, super hard all the time. At first, when I was on the stage with Beyonce, I'm like, I gotta go 2,000% because I have to look as good as she does. And it was tough, and it's like emotionally draining. And then a couple months go by and you're like, okay, well, now I can relax and just be myself and actually do a good job instead of trying to do a good
job. Are you out there what percentage of the time?
During the show.
During a show like that?
I think maybe like 70%.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and they're about 2 hour shows.
And are you guys would you guys do a lot of costume changes? And
oh, for
all
sure.
That stuff?
You run off stage, pretty much in between every number, you're doing a costume change. You run off stage, you have stage hands, they change you, you run back up, and you get on that stage again. Wow. And you have to basically beat Beyonce on stage because you have to be out there before she does.
What's stage hand etiquette? Is it gals, like, you know, at the airport, when the gal needs the patting down, they go, oh, I got to get the girl to pat you down. The person
you
changing your outfit, is that a...
Gay dude.
Yeah, and most of the time it's girls. There are a couple guys who would not play for the same team. You know what I mean? Like, they would be
it's
on the opposite
perk for
time.
Them.
It's just
yeah,
a job.
It's like, I don't really care about what I'm seeing.
That's what I would say. So
just pretending.
And now tour ends and off to greener pastures. And and you did Dancing with the Stars in 2017. So it says here as a professional, I'm sure. Who were you hooked up with?
I was Maxim Shmierkowski. So Max.
She was not the professional.
Oh, you were not the professional.
I was not the professional.
Oh.
What an advantage.
No, imagine
you
that.
A compliment.
Wait, why didn't you win?
Well, because there's politics and there is voting involved.
Aha. I knew there's a reason why I didn't win.
All the greats.
Yeah.
I was quite the unpopular vote because I was a dancer.
You
know?
Yeah.
Don't want to see that rags to riches story.
Mm-hmm. Who won your year?
Why am I blanking on this? Who won?
Jenny Tatum.
You hate them and you blocked them from
I guess.
We'll look it up.
We'll look it up. I don't know why.
Rashad Jennings won.
Rashad won. He probably was the nicest celebrity I've ever met in my life.
Really?
And that's why he won.
I don't know who that is. Do we know who that is?
He was, he's a football player.
Running back?
Oh.
The running back.
It's weird that...
For the Giants, is that what I'm thinking of?
Yes.
The guy who was a bruiser for the Giants?
Oh, well, 27? I gotta tell you, there's something, I think Emmitt Smith, I think there's been a few guys. The running backs do exceedingly well.
They're compact.
In that competition. Yeah. I also think they have a very strong competitive drive.
If it's the same guy I'm thinking of.
For sure. He never sat still when he was... doing the show. He was always dancing and learning and trying to get better.
There he is.
Not a running back.
He's not a running back?
Not with those shoulder pads.
Oh.
He is a running back.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they're all wearing small shoulder pads now because there's less mass. The Dance Room is the name of the podcast, and as we said, it's available now on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts as well. Gina, you want to do the news? Heather,
love
you want to hang out and chime in as Gina does the news?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, an assault charge against a 10-year-old boy who injured a fellow classmate in a dodgeball game has been dismissed by a Michigan prosecutor. So last week, Kamishi Lindley announced in a Facebook fundraising post that her son Bryce had been charged with aggravated assault relating to a late April incident that resulted in him being suspended from elementary school in Michigan. The injured boy reportedly suffered a concussion, a black eye, a bruise on his nose during a dodgeball game or right after a dodgeball game.
When I used to play dodgeball, we had dodgeballs, which were like kind of rubbery
those
balls,
red squishy.
Yeah, but then they had utility balls, which were a little more utilitarian, a little
like medicine
tougher.
Ball?
Yeah, they just had a tougher skin. Yeah. They kind of could be used for anything.
Well, this kid got beaned.
But the utility ball left a mark.
Yeah,
the dodgeball. Little easier. I feel like they could just come up with a dodgeball that was a little less physically harmful.
Especially since hipsters play it competitively, yeah.
The greatest is when Ray, my buddy Ray, weighed about 50 pounds more than every kid there and was 10 times stronger. And there was a guy named Bobby Wilhide who was great at dodgeball because he'd get right in front of you. If he did, he'd just splat himself right on the asphalt or he'd go up in the air. Like, he'd do anything on the asphalt. Like, it wouldn't matter. He'd be like 4 feet in front of you, like a ha ha, and you'd throw it and he'd just go face down, just boom, just pancake, like on the ground. Ray did a pump once. Bobby flattened out on the ground, and Ray didn't just bounce it off his behind. Ray spiked it on his head as hard as he physically could, because that's how the game
that's an
worked.
Assault.
But the kid got it. You can't blame the kid who threw the ball.
Well, I mean, again, this is a loophole, but a prosecutor said the incident between this boy and the other boy happened after the students had stopped playing the game, so you couldn't say it was during the game. Lindley's son allegedly took the ball, threw it with force. The charge against his the son was dismissed one day before he was due in court, because also they're 10 and... Mm-hmm. Playing on the playground.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants running back I was thinking of, Brandon Jacob. Remember, number 27 is a bruiser. He's just not coming out of the way.
He was a huge guy. Yeah. Anyway. He was one of these backs that was not like big and thick. He was a huge guy.
A strong,
he
big
was
dude.
Built like an action hero. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So that's a little kind of thing to put on your resume. Like, once killed a man with a dodgeball. Whoa.
My dodgeball's registered in 50 states.
Yeah, I was in the joint before my 11th birthday. Before LeBron was dunking, I was killing men with utility balls. That's right. I swore I'd never pick up another dodgeball. But now I'm coming out of retirement for one last dodgeball
game. Just the one.
That's we need you, Scotty. You're the best.
You know, I hung it up. You know, after my family was killed by those marauding dodgeballers.
God damn it, those fourth graders need you. Now get out there and do your duty as an American.
I'm just going to crawl inside this bottle and I'm never coming out of this cabin in the woods.
The answer you're looking for is not at the bottom of that bottle.
It's not.
Please, Johnny, for me.
I don't
know. Listen to your prom date.
Hold on, let me gauge. Hold on, is this a Sadie Hawkins date?
Yeah, you're Sadie Hawkins.
Let me gaze slowly at my family on the hearth. And then have it fade, dissolve.
To a memory, to a flashback.
Right.
No. Dodgeball flying at you from all directions.
That's right. Then I wake up in a cold sweat.
He's pinned down in a foxhole. Dodgeballs are flying all over.
Is dodgeball the same? Dodgeball's not the same as bombardment, right? Is that where everybody throws a ball at the same time?
Is that a game?
Yeah.
I never heard of that.
Oh, that's bukkake ball.
Oh, okay. That makes different. More sense. Well, when I was in sixth grade and playing it, I was confused.
Let's smear the queer.
Thank you.
Yes.
You
come on. Can't do that anymore.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, odd story picking up a little steam. A model has apologized for saying she's transgendered when she actually isn't and said that was the only way to keep her from getting death threats and hate mail. Very odd story. So follow me on this. Mm. Apparently, this Fenty model, Carissa Pinkston, Fenty, Rihanna's line of makeup and stuff. Mm-hmm. Carissa Pinkston, we have a picture, took to social media in May to say, quote, being transgender does not make you a woman. It makes you simply transgender. Now, the backlash from that started almost immediately. No, Brian. And when Carissa could no longer handle the backlash, she went to social media with a new plan. She said, I wasn't ready to come out about it.
Wow.
But today I got fired and I received hate mail and death threats ever since. So I'm being forced to tell the truth. I'm transgender. Brian, come on.
Speaking of dodgeball, it's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
I'm so confused.
I transitioned at a very young age, and I've lived my life as a female ever since. It's been very hard to keep this secret, but what I said about trans women was a direct reflection of my inner insecurities. Come to realize I am a woman. We all are.
I don't want to be mean, but she could pull it off.
Well, that was probably part
of
the thing. So fellow models who knew her began to call her out and said, you're lying. What are you talking about? You're not transgender. And then she had to come out again and say, I lied. I'm just trying to get out of the way of all this backlash.
I think it's Rachel Dolezal.
Well, she learned her lesson.
Yeah,
clearly.
I don't understand like how she thought that was like
Yeah.
The way to go.
So the rest of your life, this is your new identity.
All right. So now I'm confused. First off, what is Mario Lopez signed off on this or not? I want to know if this is
Let's
okay
ask
with
Candace
Mario
Owens.
Lopez. Jesus Christ. Someone's going to fucking tear that poor guy a new asshole. He's so outrageous. So this person is what?
She is a cisgendered female. She was born a female.
And so that's all?
Exactly.
Never and then, was
never.
Anything else.
But
just
when she,
claimed to be.
Yes, when she came out.
Okay, she's a female.
Yeah,
okay.
But she, since she said, you know, if you're transgender, you're not. And then she had to double down.
You and Heather, there's no difference between her and you and Heather.
But, no difference.
Except for her claims.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I mean, as far as I know, everything I know about Heather, yes.
Got it now.
Yes, I will confirm. Yeah, mentally, she just maybe was confused. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for a hot second.
There'll be a lot of that going around. And also, I think if we give anyone any kind of incentive, like, look, it's happening. I'll put to you this one. You got a, as we've seen, although not exactly, but versions of this. Everyone I know who has a kid who's getting around college application time, like, you're dope if you don't check a box that says you got a little Indian in you or a little Hispanic or you're like a one quarter something. Like, people are struggling to try to figure out a way. Like, well, on your grandmother's side, she was Iroquois. You should, you could, because it's a little easier way to get in. Like, it's an edge. Like, it's going to help.
Well, and like with 23andMe, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, just justify it.
Totally.
Figure it out. So if we're going to create a society that sort of likes this and doesn't like that, whatever, you're going to have people playing fast and loose with gender and ethnicity. Mm-hmm. And if they think it gets them ahead or gets them more work or gets them into this college, there's going to be a lot more of this going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
What movie is it where...
Soul Man.
Thank you. No, they're two agents. It might have been Swimming with Sharks for Shark Week. But he puts... I think it's Kevin Spacey. Someone puts on a yarmulke and goes, they're all going to... You know, they're agents. They're all going to someone's bar mitzvah. He goes, are you Jewish? I am today.
Right.
So that's kind of how people do it.
It's helpful. Yeah.
Sly Stallone announced a big, big move about Rambo Last Blood. He's very, very excited about this. Last Blood's been given a hard R rating by the Motion Picture Association of America. Well, some movies are carefully cut to avoid receiving that R. Others consider it like a badge of honor, especially the hard R, which technically isn't real, but it's somewhere right below an NC-17, and it's kind of a fun promotion. With several months to go before the release, this is from Stallone's Instagram. He promised, quote, what's coming is going to be unlike anything you've ever seen, and included these two stills of Rambo in the middle of bloody battle. Loves that hard R, and you guys know the franchise began in 1982 with Rambo returning home from Vietnam, only to find himself the target of a police hunt. And in 2008, Last Blood story. We'll see our hero taking on a powerful Mexican cartel in the new one.
Oh boy,
the first one was good.
We were just talking about this 20 hours ago with Anderson on the Film Vault. We were talking about how Rambo, the first one, was not what Rambo became. It's kind of a cat and mouse thriller in the woods kind of thing.
If you like those kinds of man in the wilderness and surviving off his instincts and will in the hills with survival training and stuff, it's great. It starts off with him just sort of walking down the street. It's great. Brian Dennehy's perfect sheriff and the whole get out of town and turn around and walk the other way. Like, there's it's all there. Like, there is no, oh, come on.
Or, no, it's very realistic.
None of that.
I mean, the people are unnecessarily assholes, but the whole plot, the whole execution of
feasible.
The plot is totally realistic.
Right. Yeah, so go back and check out
Enjoy
that first
that.
One.
Mm-hmm.
The hard R makes it sound like an adult film.
I know it does.
Yeah, he's like, check out this new
or
one.
Or a really killer pirate film.
Oh, brother. So a Nevada man discovered a very rare Nintendo game in his childhood things, and it's going to fetch a nice little price online. So Scott Amos's mother asked him to stop by his childhood home, pick up a couple of boxes of stuff. And one of them was this game. It was an unopened copy of Kid Icarus.
Kid Ick.
You know this?
Yeah, I played this
I
game.
Remember this.
It was a fun game. It was a kid who flew. We had wings, right? Like Icarus.
Right.
Yeah.
And it looks just like Mario.
Yeah. Okay. Those games didn't have a lot of range.
Hold on. Let me try to jog my memory. Does this plug in and or take batteries and or bring joy?
All three.
No.
Ooh, oh. Okay. Then that's no. that not we didn't have in the Corolla house. No, no. Well, you would break the three rules of being a Corolla.
Right, the Trinity.
Yeah, the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. Plug in, or take batteries, or bring joy to your children.
Yeah, Nintendo was not
that's
an option.
We just got our kids into the Super Nintendo. My oldest loves it.
Yeah.
It's such a throwback. It's super fun.
Well, you know, on the Xbox, you can have, like,
all the old ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what, super fun.
What was the doc about the ones that were buried?
What do you want to know, buddy? That was a Game Over, I think was the name of the movie, but it was about the E.T. game, which was universally sort of derided as the worst video game ever. Well, it's pretty bad.
But one would be worth a lot now?
If you had an original E.T., considering they buried 40,000 of them in the Nevada desert or whatever it was, yeah.
Well, any guesses on what this is expected to fetch online? This copy of Kid Icarus.
It's literally just a cartridge, right?
Yeah.
In the original packaging?
I imagine.
I have no idea how. Well, Brian had one.
The odd thing is that Kid Icarus wasn't like that popular of a game. It wasn't like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out or Mario Brothers.
Maybe that's
or
why.
Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
10,000? No. $5,000.
Adam?
Well, you're asking, so I feel like it's got to be more than $2,500. $20,000.
Heather?
I don't have an idea to base it off of.
That's
so
okay.
Maybe
neither does that.
Like,
just give us a number.
Okay, $16,000.
You're close. Brian, you should have stuck with the original. It is expected to fetch $10,000 online.
Wow.
And as to why, that remains a mystery, at least to me.
Who's going to buy this?
I don't know. So Lisa Marie Presley plans to write a tell-all book that'll touch on her ex-husband Michael Jackson and a little bit of Elvis talk, even though she was, I think, 9 when he died.
I want the Nick Cage talk.
She's 51 now, and she just signed a deal with Gallery Books worth around $3 million. According to New York Post, it will include shocking revelations about Michael Jackson and a completely new understanding of Elvis.
She's not even going to write it, is she?
$3 million's a lot for an advance.
That isn't a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, she married Michael in that secret ceremony in 1994, divorced 2 years later.
I mean, it's all Elvis and Michael Jackson. Yeah. I mean, that's all the advance is coming from peaks about them.
And the promise of new information. She said on Oprah in 2010, there was a very profound point in the marriage where he had to make a decision. Was it drugs and the sort of vampires like the sycophants or me? And he pushed me away.
Who are we referencing, Michael?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, drugs are pretty great.
What else do we not already know about it?
I mean, I think, the documentary beat her to the punch, but who knows?
We do know, I think, everything we need to know. She strikes me as a very weird person. I think her mom's kind
of
weird.
She probably has a lot of secrets, too.
She probably knows a few things. When I did Dancing with the Stars, Priscilla was on my... I think she was in my group.
No. Priscilla?
Yeah.
Your mother.
Mom.
She?
Yeah.
I have no recollection of that. I watched the episodes you're on, obviously. I have no recollection of that.
Well, I have
maybe
a recollection.
Maybe confusing with The Apprentice now.
I have a... No, I remember talking to her a few times about, like...
The Paso Doble?
It's entirely possible confusing it.
She wanted... Yeah, Chris says yes. Yeah. She wanted to do a documentary... about that singer who had that big song, who died, who like drowned.
Oh, Jeff Buckley.
Jeff Buckley, yeah, thank you. Yeah, she was talking to me at the time about doing a Jeff Buckley documentary.
Interesting.
Seemed like an interesting subject for documentary. No, oh, there she is with red hair. Yeah. All right. Let me hit No Bull. Demand more from your workout gear like you demand more from yourself. No Bull footwear, apparel, accessories for people who train hard and don't believe in excuses. Gear built to perform with you. Simple and functional design, grounded in performance. No gimmicks, no excuses. Good stuff. Top shelf stuff. The shoes, I was wearing them yesterday when I took Phil out for a big long walk, are great. Multi-environment design built for wherever your workout takes you. Trainers designed for cross-training, weightlifting, intervals, cardio. And whether you're into training and training hard, you want something... you can dish it out. It can take it. Made with extremely durable, breathable, and abrasion-resistant materials. Runners with lightweight, breathable, stretch knit upper and material that moves with you. The stuff is really good. I have the outerwear. I have the shoes. I wear them all the time. It's good stuff. Check it out. It is No Bull. Right, Dawson?
If you're ready to challenge your gear the way you challenge yourself, go to NoBullProject.com/Adam today. For people who put in the work day after day, visit NoBullProject.com/Adam and check out their training gear. That's NoBullProject.com/Adam.
Priscilla was, there it is, was working on a scripted biopic of Jeff Buckley, who I guess drowned, right?
This is Hallelujah, yeah. Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there it is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And did we hear Hide Nor Hair that...
Okay, it won the Oscar for Best Picture.
I don't think she got around to it. I think being independently wealthy slows your roll a little bit when it comes to doing biopics.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I know it's Shark Week, but this is a hot cougar story. ABC News Radio reports that a Metallica song helped a Canadian woman escape a potentially dangerous encounter with a cougar. A woman named Dee Gallant was walking her dog in British Columbia when she spotted this giant cougar headed towards her. She yelled. She made loud sounds. That's what you're supposed to do, according to wildlife experts. But the cougar didn't move, so she got out her phone and played Metallica's Don't Tread on Me, which, if you're not familiar... we'll have a little taste for you. She said she thought it was the noisiest thing she could think of, and it would probably scare him away. When those first notes blared out, she ran into the bushes with her dog. Now she feels she owes Metallica a thank you for saving her life.
Hmm.
Scared the cougar.
Is that living in America?
This is Don't Tread on Me.
Yeah, but the beginning riff was Seneca in America. That was West Side Story, wasn't it?
I can't believe I didn't notice that. Will you please go back?
Go back and that was West Side Story.
There are no cats in America.
Wrong one. You're 100% right.
Now who's gay? I mean, who has a better working knowledge of musicals? And this dude.
I'm leaving. I feel horrible about
myself. I've never heard this song before, I don't think. So I heard it with fresh ears. But good. Scared the cougar away. A 9-pound tabby can fuck you up so badly. I could never imagine what a 180-pound worth of cougar could do.
It's over.
You.
All instinct. And they're not afraid of people.
And they are fast, man. Yeah. And look, I get it, douchebags, when you go, this is their land. This is their, yeah, I know. It's all everyone's land. We, at a certain point, we got to hike.
Yeah.
You know what
They're
I'm saying?
Pissed. We're fucking up their land.
This
like, we're
is
destroying
their, land.
Their earth, basically.
It's
with
their earth.
And they're coming for vengeance.
And they're coming.
Right. Right. I know.
They want their pound of flesh.
They are
literally.
Back
and tell everybody about Metallica, and they're going to be like, I know this
You
now.
Guys!
You can't get me.
I just heard the greatest song.
Where's dinner? Don't worry about that.
So a search engine journal reports that a study of popular YouTube videos in 2019 reveals which keywords are associated with the most views. Yeah. Pew Research Center published an analysis of every video on YouTube created by a high subscriber channel. That's like 44,000 channels. Because the subscribers, you have to have at least 250,000 subscribers. And I have the top 20, but I'll give you the top 10 of the most search keywords on YouTube. Unless you want it.
Are we
most
get searched way
or the ones that are tagged in the most popular videos?
Keywords that are associated with the most views.
Okay, okay.
So probably
so keywords,
goes either way. Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
These are not names. Oh, they
no,
could
no
be.
I mean,
so
when you're be, when but, you're creating your YouTube, you write keyword on the bottom, so people when they search for it, even if it's not in the title of the production,
right.
it will just show up.
Right,
but
like
it could be Kardashian or Trump.
It could be scary pumpkin. It could be any word.
But can it be a name?
It can be.
If someone is publishing a video on your behalf on the Adam Carolla channel, it would say comedy or funny or stand up or podcast. You know what I mean? Like
right.
You tag it with things that
so
are relevant.
And
it
could
be
guess
a name,
Kardashian.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I would guess fail, although these are intentionally created videos.
Ooh, Brian.
Is fail on there?
It is. Where is it? I just saw it. Fail did make the list.
But these are intentionally created videos, so they're not people posting, you know, accidental.
Oh,
blah, blah, blah.
Scary.
Funny.
Fail,
funny is definitely.
Yeah, fails in the top 10. I'm going to give you a couple just because this is a tough list. Moment, makeup, NFL.
Oh, unboxing.
Makeup tutorials.
Yeah. Worst, prank, rainbow, slime, ASMR, which I don't know if you're familiar with, Adam. That's that autonomous sensory meridian response. It's like when people whisper into the mic.
Or they like they
Yeah, it's supposed
they
to give
it on
you like
YouTube.
A, give you the tingles. It drives me insane.
It's so weird.
And number one, Fortnite.
Oh.
Because of course it is.
So do you guys get sucked into the deep dives on the internet?
Who doesn't? That would be dishonest to say no.
Yeah. I don't.
Oh my god.
I now have a time limit on my Instagram because I don't allow myself to do that.
Good for you.
I give myself 45 minutes. I usually go over 15 minutes every time, but I give myself 45 minutes.
Like a day.
A day, yeah.
So what happens with me is I'll look up either something with a race car or someone, a guest star on the Partridge Family.
Sure.
Those are kind of my two things.
Sweet spots. So.
And they will have the thing on the side, which is guess what she looks like now?
Yeah.
You know, the neighbor from Little House on the Prairie.
Oh.
You'd be surprised what she looks like now.
Yep.
And I look at it. But I don't go for it.
Never?
The best.
No,
you don't take the bait or the clickbait.
Don't. Once in a while, I'll see a car-related thing that's sort
guess
of related
like
to
now.
What I'm talking about, and I'll click on it.
I 100% agree. I see those things. I'm like, I wonder what she does look like now. But I also think the click is going to get some sort of information. They're going to get some sort of something from my something. Occasionally, I'll look up the stuff independently, which is needlessly elaborate, but I'll still do it. The girl from E.T., the cute girl that was sitting next to Elliot in class, remember with the frogs? Do you know who that is?
No.
She's a very famous person. Erica Liniak.
Really?
The girl who popped out of the cake in Under Siege.
She's a very famous person.
Erica Liniak's pretty famous. She's a playmate.
But...
Erica Liniak?
Well, not very famous. It's
not
the
for,
two people in the room would know.
Two ladies
what
who don't watch
about,
Under
but
Siege.
But I know who Erica is. She's a playmate.
To Playboy.
Baywatch?
She popped out
again.
No, so what I'm saying, here's the thing. I've probably done the... You'd be surprised how much weight this person has put on thing. I probably clicked on it once, but it never got me to the person.
It never does. That's why it's clicked.
Oh, that's
like
why
10
I stopped.
Slides,
that's
yeah,
why,
like it's
that's why I stopped. I never click on them anymore.
Now the one I've learned, I've been burned too many times on TMZ with, guess who this cutie is from fourth grade? Because it takes like another 14 slides to get to that person
well, let's
and
see,
I'm not interested by
let
them.
Let me just see if I how weird I am.
I'm standing by Erica Lenape being very famous. You're Baywatch. She's in Playboy.
Very. You can't have nobody in the room knowing who she is. Now I get credit.
Somebody who's listening knows who she is.
She has 2 million Google results. When you
yeah, but you and Adam.
I knew a guy.
You're the only ones looking him up.
She dated a guy, a friend of ours, who was in a wheelchair when she was like at the
height of her. And she's a humanitarian.
And she's.
I like her.
So I have my websites. I have like Bring a Trailer or eBay or a couple of car related auction sites I go to.
Can I ask what is Bring a Trailer?
Sorry, Bring a Trailer is this website for people who are selling their cars, and like your car goes up for like a week and it counts down. It's like so far they're up to $15,000,
like
and then it
eBay.
Like keeps counting down. It's like eBay for just for cars, but they write stories about it and there's different place things, and it's kind of fun. If you like cars, you'll go to Bring a Trailer and they'll just show you what's up there and what stuff sold
My son
for.
Would love this.
Oh, if he likes cars, it's fun because you kind of pick out a car you like and figure out how much it sold for and follow the story. And I've sold a few cars and I've looked at a few cars and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I have a handful of my websites that I go to, and then that's it.
Mm.
Then it's just emails after that and tweets. I don't have anything else.
But you look at a lot of, well, you might not be looking at TMZ online. I know you watch it a lot. But
no,
that can
I
be,
don't.
That's a black hole, too.
I would look at, like, IMDb to see some actor who is at the end of some 70s sitcom and figure out what happened to them.
I will go down a lot of YouTube rabbit holes, 60% movie stuff. Like, I want to see that scene again. I want to see that trailer, you know, whatever. Like, all the old stuff. And 40% old music videos, like, from, like, the 80s and 90s. Like, oh, what was it? Billy Joel video.
I have the conceit. I know it's all there, but I also know there's no ending point.
No, yeah.
For me. All right, let me hit Castrol Edge. Stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms to get stronger under pressure. Three times. Don't worry, I can talk. Three times stronger than leading full synthetic. It is the best. It is Castrol Edge. Edge formulated in ways to exceed the strongest industry standards with new and improved formula. It is Castrol Edge. All right, a couple more.
All right. Well, here's an inspiring story to motivate anybody who needs it. An Arizona man found a creative way to get work after being laid off by standing on street corners and passing out his resume, encouraging people to take one and look him up. Patrick Hoagland told Fox News Tuesday that he'd been laid off a month ago and it just wasn't working. He was trying the traditional route and going into places and filing, you know, for jobs online, and nothing panned out. So he hit the streets in Phoenix with a sign that said, "Laid off, looking for a job, please take a resume." And this was part of an interview on the local news, and he got featured. And he said the offers started rolling in. He told the station that his phone just started going crazy with multiple offers, and he finally settled on the right one. He said he worked at Flatline Concrete Grinding Company for a day, just to prove himself, didn't ask for any wages or anything, and he was immediately offered the position. So a little grit for you.
His real love is human trafficking.
That's on the back of the sign.
On the back of the
God,
resume.
What an idea. How has nobody ever done this before?
Literally
pass out your resume.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. It's genius because he's going to get the same amount of people are going to give him a buck or give him two bucks.
Exactly.
And he looks like a goddamn hero. This is a great idea.
Yeah.
You guys know what a propane-powered slab grinder does?
No, sounds hot.
It's probably grind slab.
It's like you work this big fan thing and you just go do the slab after the big slab has been poured.
Is that what he does?
Where's he from?
Phoenix.
That's not Phoenix kind of work. Slab work is not Phoenix work. Construction work. Oh, so goddamn
hot. I'm from Arizona.
Oh, are you?
Are?
Oh, yes. From Scottsdale. And no. Anything that's going to take you outside and then go back inside. Because that's the worst part, is going into the heat, then going into the cold. And then going back out in the heat, working
I'll
a slab.
I'll tell you the worst part, never going into the cold, just outdoor the whole time. Yeah. And then it gets worse because they go, "Well, we figured out a way around this, but we start at 4 a.m. Like, now it's worse.
It's only 90.
Yeah, right. So there's a lot of that over there. I mean, think about all the building that goes on in Vegas. Right now, 102 in Scottsdale. So this is Max Fadden.
So much fun. Good
for this guy, and now he's working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, it's not like he got some, you know, commercial contract like that other dude. Remember the macaroni and cheese guy?
Is he
voiceover
guy?
Yeah.
Conway always called him Golden Throat, so I can't remember what his real name is.
His name was Golden Throat.
Oh, is that what they call him?
The nickname, right?
I think they called him that.
Okay. So but it's not like he's on to, like, you know, reality show fame. He got a construction job. That's what he wanted.
Good. Everyone who's semi-sober should be able to work construction. They always need guys. Well, everyone's a mess in construction, but if you're just halfway competent and you show up half the time, like
half the time,
you are employable in construction.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is this the last story?
Construction is the number one job for people who don't have jobs or careers or have direction. And if you don't believe me, everybody who comes here from Mexico works construction. If you come here and you don't have an education, you don't have degrees, you don't have skills, you don't have papers and documents, you can't do resumes, you can't fill out paperwork and get bonded, and like, well, you all just end up in construction. It's not this thing of like, oh, these Hispanic guys, they love construction. No, they don't love construction. I didn't love construction. Ray didn't love construction. Kristen, no one I went to high school with who was a loser, no one loved anything. It's this gutter that sucks up every bad student or everyone who's not documented or everyone whose parents didn't love them or have no money or have no education or can't fill things out or work. You end up in construction. That's the job for people who can't. It's a job for people who can't have jobs.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a ringing endorsement.
It's noble. Well, that's who's there. Now, eventually, some people hang out, like buy a truck and get good at it.
Yeah.
But that's who.
That's later.
When you walk onto a construction site at 18 and a half, it's not because you're a great student or because you're waiting for your Stanford paperwork to get done. No, you're a loser. Your parents are losers. Your family's a loser. Boom.
This honestly, by the way, because that's what he did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
That's helpful.
I was going to say, anybody I've ever hired who was terrible at their job, like, I'm never going to hire you again, though. Yeah. You're just not going to get a job if you're just here to make money.
Well, it's
like the guys you're working on your house.
Yeah, they're working on my house, and I'm like, you just fucked up my wall. I'm not going to hire you again.
Right.
Their thing, there's a lot of guys. Well, so it's all word of mouth. If someone comes in and does a kick-ass job, that person will always be employed.
Yeah.
And if they do a horrible job, their whole plan is just, I'm just going to move on to the next victim, essentially. Whenever I would talk to construction guys, many years ago, when I was doing construction, I picked up a hitchhiker. Back when people used to hitchhike, I'd pick him up. I didn't care. I was driving a truck. Like, was he going to do, rape me?
Yes.
Okay. At that point, a lateral move for me in my life.
A story.
I pick him up. I didn't have any money. You know, what do I care? Pick the guy up. And he was telling me he worked construction. And then I'd do the, what do you do? First bad answer. They go, sheetrock, tin knock, drywall, do forming,
you name
roofing,
it.
Finish, stucco, I do crown molding, I'll build your kid a loft. Like, when they do everything, not so much. But when they do everything and they're great, and then you go, how long have you been out of work? And they go, it's been 9 months. I'm like, you're horrible. I don't tell them, but I think you're no good.
Yeah.
Nobody's good is out of work. Nobody does construction. No one's good with their hands. No one who's like a good Finnish carpenter, those guys' dance cards are filled all the time. There is no such thing as being out of work when you can go to someone's house and hang up some bookshelves and swing a door.
Yeah.
Your phone will always be ringing.
My husband's a woodworker, and he just went full-time in January, and he, even if he doesn't have commissioned work, he's constantly making stuff or watching YouTube videos just to learn so that he knows what he's doing when somebody asks him. Otherwise, he's going to get a job that he's never made before, and then he'll look like an idiot when he doesn't know how to make it the right way, and it falls apart.
What kind of stuff does he do?
He makes, like, beds and tables, and he's very good at doing cutting boards. Yeah, he likes to try new things. It's always fun for himself to push.
Yeah.
And we just made our son's beds, which are beautiful. His handle is Hubble Wood Shop, Hubble, H-U-B-B-E-L-L, Wood Shop. And he is doing some amazing cutting boards. We have a friend who he works in Hawaii at the Four Seasons, and we just went and had lunch there, and he commissioned him to do a bunch of cutting boards
for him.
That's great. So, yeah.
Is he out in the garage working away?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in our garage. It's turned into a full wood shop. It's beautiful.
Do you like that?
I think it's his work, and that's what he wants to do, and so I'm happy. I mean, he supports me as an actor-dancer and my craziness and all that stuff, so of course I support him.
Refreshing.
Yeah.
Is he good around the house as well, or is it pretty much a woodworking thing versus a,
doing stuff around the house.
Is he good at that stuff?
I think his focus more is on woodworking, but he is learning to do, like, you know, fixing the hose and stuff like that, because it's our first, like, house we've owned together. And
What people don't realize is woodworking is fun, and scraping out the mildewed caulk in the bathroom and replacing it, that's not really fun.
Not glamorous.
You know what I mean? And he wants to make a nice bowl or board or whatever he's out there doing.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, he's good at that stuff. I mean, yeah, painting is not his thing. Like, he doesn't love it. He'll do it because he has to make the piece look great, but... Yeah, he's not like a...
Out in the garage. What's his weapon of choice? You know what kind of tools he uses? What color are they?
I'm well-versed in that. He has a CNC machine that he is not quite sure about at the moment, but I think it's the smartest thing he has. He has everything. He has one of his grandpa's I don't know the name of it.
Table saw.
He has the table saw. Mm-hmm.
Contractor saw.
Yeah. And nice. It's beautiful. But he has his grandpa's, his grandpa was a woodworker, and so was his father.
What
and
kind of fence is he running?
This is amazing.
Bees and Meyer. You don't know?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I don't know a lot of the language of woodworking, which is terrible.
Get in that garage and learn.
I'll have him give me a 101 woodworking.
Boy.
I like the idea. Nick Cage coming on the show.
Yeah, speaking of woodworking.
Monday, I should say. But I like the idea of a guy out in a garage in 2019. Good for his head, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not all moody and rudy and
duty.
He's got
the beard now. Like, he just comes in sweaty. And I'm like,
That's good for everybody.
Turn on. Yeah. No, but I just mean, like, it clears your head. Like, he's not sitting on the internet staring at shit all day. He's out there turning a lathe, clearing his head out, putting things together.
Yeah.
I think people need that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not playing Fortnite all day.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. He was in a corporate job for a while, and he wasn't happy. So this is something that he loves, and I'm happy he can do that.
All right. Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. I'm transgender. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
We know.
Hot take.
Last but not least, Simply Safe. You know our friend Simply Safe. You'd be smart to avail yourself of a little Simply Safe. Two I's in there. That is S-I-M-P-L-I. SimplySafe.com is where you go. These guys are the best. And live shows for me coming up all over the damn place. I got to tell you what. Doing stand-up, go to adamcarolla.com if you want to know where I'm going to be. Main show coming up is Monterey, Golden State Theater, August 17th. Adam Ray's going to be with me. We're doing stand-up, and Adam Carolla's unprepared, and doing a race. So if you want to go down to Laguna Seca and see me in the 935, come say hi, take a picture. We always appreciate it. Good sports coming up, Podcast 1. Dot study is where you go. Take a quick little study, a quick little survey, and get yourself a nice gift card. Why not? It all helps. Heather Morse, the podcast, The Dance Room, available now on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts as well. Shoot her a tweet at heathermorse.com. And Jason Whitlock, I want to thank him for coming on as well. Laughs with Bald Brian coming up November 2nd. Everyone's going to be there. Avalon Theater, laughswithbaldbrian.com.
Going right now to do our walkthrough.
Oh, good. Yeah. Never been in?
I've been in once, but we're going to have the full experience.
You're going to love it.
Yeah.
Report back right on red. Pinot Noir, new wine. Excellent at CorollaDrinks.com. Until next time, this is Adam for Heather and Jason and Gina and Bald saying... Mahalo.
Being transgender does not make you a woman. It makes you simply transgender.
Stick around. Today's episode of Good Sports with Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla is coming right on.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports on this Friday. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. We keep talking about football season being here. Very exciting. Baseball season. What are we in the dog days of August now? That means what? We got like a third left of the season. Mm-hmm. And everybody's within about three games of each other. Save a couple of exceptions. So while we do that, Ace, tailgating, of course, happens here, and probably the two most prominent items that you see at any football tailgate, the wiener and the burger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our mutual pal, Ross Tucker, has as usual, always likes the food-based questions.
Ex-NFL offensive lineman.
Correct. And he and I like to go back and forth on the Twitters about all these important issues. But and then another guy, Cole Wright, who I work with, brought this up to me, this one. And I'm curious to see where Ross Tucker went wiener. I went burger. Cole Wright asked the question. To the exclusion of the other one, whichever one you choose against, you never get to eat ever again. Wiener, burger, go. Think this through, because what comes out of your mouth next?
I got to say, sidebar in the food department,
ooh,
something happened, and the Rainier cherries kicked in this year, and they are magical.
I am ashamed that I didn't lead with that when I walked in to see you today. I found in my refrigerator some Rainier cherries the other day, and I've been eating them. They're very good.
These things are plump and delectable.
Very good. Are they as good as the watermelon I had earlier this week?
Yes, they are. Okay, so a hot dog is better. So there's certain things. You have to break it down this way, Dave.
Okay.
Egg salad at a deli is better than a turkey sandwich. But you'd probably take turkey over egg salad for the rest of your life.
Okay.
See what I'm getting at here?
I follow.
Like, you go to a restaurant, Fair to Midland Midland restaurant, and fish and chips might be better than like a meatloaf or a burger or something like that, but you still have to pick the meatloaf or the burger big picture. So it's not okay. About, you know, one's a sprinter.
You're
and the
talking,
other,
well, but you're also talking optimal delivery.
I'm talking sprint versus marathon.
Okay.
I love a hot dog done right. I like the Chicago style. That's me. But
that's terrible. I should end this conversation.
I love
right
the
now
hot dog. All right,
that's
I'll go
what's
chili.
On your
I'll
resume.
Go chili cheese if it makes you happy. But either way, that is the best. But the burger day in and day out. You know what I mean? Over the course of a lifetime. So if the question is, you're going to the electric chair, you get one run, you go in and out. Or do you go Carney's? I go Carney's
really?
And get my favorite three hot dogs.
Have you been by the Carney's on Sunset lately?
I have been by it.
I was driving by it.
I've not physically been in it.
No, neither have I.
I'm not sure which you're asking.
But I've been doing the Comedy Store a lot, so I've been near it.
Have you noticed that it's all Coach branded now? It seems to be owned by Coach, and then it says, you know, presenting Carney's by Coach or some kind
the
of
the sitcom from the 80s?
Yeah.
Yep. Craig T. Nelson. That's what I'm assuming you mean. Craig T. Nelson and then the blonde guy who's never acted in another sitcom ever. They're the coach of like the Minnesota Blue Devils or something, whatever the team was.
I love those are great things. Now to do a sidebar to a sidebar. I was watching Total Recall and the other day, and in Total Recall, the woman who is his love interest, not Sharon Stone, but the other one.
Yeah, Emilio Alonso Escuela Conchella.
Has
Conchita.
Never been in it. No, as far as I know, has never been in anything before or since. It's weird when that happens in movies, in big-time movies.
Total Recall. Now, there was Sharon Stone.
Oh, I know. Which one are you thinking? Are you thinking of with Dick Dawson?
Running Man?
Running Man. You might be thinking Running Man.
Could be thinking Running Man.
No, this woman
had... Are you thinking Rachel Tocotin?
I don't even know what her name is.
I don't know.
I know that if Ace Molina. Carolla grew his hair out long, that's what her hair looks like in that movie.
Mm.
So
hot dog.
Let me just
one
expand this for you, Ace.
One and done. Yes.
I'll go so far as to say this, and this hurts me. It's not like I don't love. Look, I love a Polish kielbasa. You know what you do? Do yourself this favor, Ace. Everybody within the sound of my voice, get yourself next time you're at the grocery store. Get yourself one of them links of Polish kielbasa. Take it home. Open it up. If you like to slice it into nice medallions, do it that way, or flay it. You know, halfway, and either way, drop it into the pan, smell the glory, and then bite into it, and then next stop, Cloud 9, and then you can thank me when you come back down to Earth.
Did you hear about the kielbasa debacle over here?
No. Kielbasa debacle of 2019. I hadn't heard, no.
We sent Emmy was going on a lunch run. Am I right? Tell me if I screw this up.
No, you're good.
Emmy's going on a lunch run. So he's getting an order from everybody. Mm-hmm. He's going to the deli, like the German deli. They sell kielbasa. They sell the eggs. They sell the potato salad. Mm. They sell the German. They sell all the stuff. They sell kielbasa like in bulk, and then they sell the kielbasa sandwich, dog, whatever. Mm-hmm. So he's going around, and he's getting everyone's order. People are ordering, I guess, kielbasa, dogs, or your sandwich. He's going on a lunch run. So I say, okay, give me the kielbasa, too. Goes there. Comes back, gives everyone their sandwich, hands me a raw kielbasa. I said, did I need to specify the sandwich? He said, well, you ordered a kielbasa. Just a loose, raw kielbasa. Yep.
What? It'd be one thing if he was doing it just for you. Ace, what do you? Well, get me a kielbasa, and he brought that. But if he got other people,
he
kielbasa,
went on a lunch run.
And he got everybody else a kielbasa in the bun, but then for some reason cut down your order, made it something different. That's very weird.
Yeah, I said with sauerkraut, and he handed me a head of cabbage and some vinegar. He said it's going to take a while to cure.
But listen,
to be fair to him, I have ordered. multiple raw kielbasas. Like, I've ordered a pile of kielbasas before.
But this wasn't the context of
he
you
was going on a
kielbasas.
Lunch run.
Right. At those other times, you ordered 10, 20.
It would be weird to order just the one. Like, I'll eat it raw on the way home.
Very weird. Yeah. I, by the way, I love a linguica. I love an andouille sausage. I love a chorizo.
You like, here's where we
I love
part
a link,
where.
But I would, I will, all
you want
manner
stuff
of,
grilled. You want it grilled. I want it steamed.
Well,
I want it poached.
I don't mind it being steamed. What I don't like is when it's boiled, and that's what the Chicago dog is. But I would against, yeah, I wouldn't love to do it, but I would say goodbye to all manner of encased meats in favor of the burger. That would be my choice.
I will say this. In-N-Out's a hell of a burger, but I will tell you this, and I haven't done it in a while, and I'm way overdue, and I got to make a move. I got to try a fat burger.
Fat burgers remain delicious, and they're thicker than,
yes,
than the In-N-Out.
Yes, it's been like since high school we used to go on like fat burger.
Is that, it's been that long? I mean,
I haven't had one like in a long time.
I was just talking to somebody about this. Woody Allen, my hypothesis is it starts with Annie Hall and his depiction of L.A. when he finds Annie Hall on Sunset, and she's eating some healthy food. And she describes, well, that's how people are in L.A. And I think America just accepted that L.A. is just a bunch of people who eat nuts and fruits, and that's it, and they don't eat. L.A. is the burger town of all burger towns, and I've lived in Chicago. I've spent a lot of time in New York. Pittsburgh's a great junk food town and beyond. L.A. easily is the best burger town. There's so many good ones, chain ones, local places, everything, right?
Now I'm hungry.
Well, now you're not allowed to eat them, though. Enjoy your wieners for the rest of your days, Ace.
I shall. All right, let me tell you about Yahoo Fantasy. July means football season is just around the corner. Yahoo Fantasy has introduced their new fantasy football game called Best Ball. Draft your fantasy football team, and that's it. Each week, the top scoring players at each position will automatically count toward your weekly score. Forget about the time commitment, the focus. The best part is the fantasy football, and the draft is the best part. And you do that, and then you forget about it. You don't want to manage your team all season long. You can draft up to 50 best ball teams. Play for free or play for cash. Get to drafting with Yahoo Fantasy Best Ball. Join the league today, and you do it at sports.yahoo.com/bestball. That is sports.yahoo.com/bestball. Coming soon to the Yahoo Fantasy apps. Fantasy app. Fantasy app. So keep that in mind.
Very nice. And by the way, the fantasy league, of which you're aware, you don't care to participate yourself, but a lot of your pals, including me, are in this league. We were talking already a month and a half out from the draft. And I suggested a rules change that I won't be tedious enough to tell you about. But your pal Hench was like, "No, the rules are set for 2019. The rules are set. We have to revisit this next year." I'm like, "I'm sorry, I didn't calculate the emotional scars changing the rules 6 months out from our fantasy football league would be. It's already getting hot already." And I was talking to Sal and Simmons about it and everything, and everybody's already. And Simmons is belly. I don't know what the Patriots are doing. I'm like, "You don't get the complain about the Patriots for another 50 years. You don't get to question what right. Belichick is. I'm getting excited." Well, you know what? The good news is football season's here. I look forward to watching some football these Sundays upcoming here with Ace and Company. And I look forward to continuing talking hot sports with Adam Carolla here on Good Sports. We'll return for you next week. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports out. Good Sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click on the link at adamcarolla.com and subscribe to Carolla Classics. Hosted by Chris Laxamana and superfan Giovanni. And tickets and info on all the live podcasts, main-degree events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.